NHL. Powered by the Tennessee Lottery. With Brett Daugherty, Mickey Ryan, and Don Davenport.
For NHL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Overreaction Monday edition. Brett Daugherty, Mickey Ryan with you until 6 o'clock. Ryan Albanese is producing today in for the vacationing JT. Buck Rising at 2:15. Austin Huff has some Court and Pat's musings at 3:45. Outside of that, it's you. 615-737-1045 at 3HL1045 on Twitter. Mickey, not going to sugarcoat it. The Nashville Predators, fans waited in this town for months and months and months for a local sports team to participate in the world of sports, and they didn't until about the third period. Nashville Predators lay an absolute egg in game one. I don't even know how what I saw was even possible, but it was there.
My timeline Sunday morning was just like, Grizz are back, Preds are back, sports is back. And my timeline last night was, I hate sports again already. It was a tough day for Grizz fans. It was a tough day for Preds fans. The Preds came out of the gate and had all the momentum in the world. And this team is funny. If they can capitalize early on momentum, look at them coming out with all the momentum in the one exhibition game they played. Get a power play, a minute into the game, can't do anything. And then the ice, it's like it just tilted completely the other way and everybody slid to the other end. It was just amazing. And it took them a long time to grab the end of the rope, but then they finally did. And that first goal against UC Soros is one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my life. It hits two Predators and just falls over the back of his head. If that had been Peck, it would have hit him in the chest just because he's so tall. But that's the flukiest thing. We couldn't go out on the ice and throw the puck over UC Soros' head from the angle it went over it and drop it in the net 2 times out of 10, probably.
Real quick, you mentioned all the tweets on Sunday morning, and I threw one out there too. It's game day at Preds NHL. Let's go. At Mark Mariani, 80 voice. Hashtag, was that too loud, too early? I want to throw something out there because while you brought that up, because some have questioned, media members taking a fan approach. I have never changed the way in which I have brought my opinion about sports on the radio in Nashville for 20 plus years. I've never changed my way. Here's the thing. I have never wanted to be a journalist. I do not want to be a journalist. I am not a journalist. You know what? I am a sports fan. You know what else I love? Nashville. And I love the state of Tennessee. So while I do want the Predators to win and I do want them to do well, I also have no problem in offering my opinion as to why they didn't play well or do not do things well and things like that. So just wanted to get that out there that our job is to entertain. We are sports fans. That's why we do what we do. That's why we wanted to do what we do. And we're blessed to have a microphone to be able to talk with you guys every day because you love sports. And if you didn't love sports, you wouldn't listen. So we appreciate you being with us, and we appreciate the opinions that you bring and the passion with which you bring them. And we are here for you. The Preds sucked in game one. They did. I don't care about a third period. I don't. You get down 3 goals in a playoff series, you deserve to lose. Now, it's not the first goal, Mickey, and you described it well. It was a complete fluke, and as you alluded to, had Pekka-Rinne been the goalie in goal, maybe the Preds win that game because that goal doesn't happen. But here's where they lost. They didn't respond. There was leakage, and you cannot have leakage if you want to win a postseason game. And let me go out on another limb here while I just mention that. The NHL wants to say that this is a qualifying round and that the playoffs actually start in the next round. Give me a freaking break about that. Call it what it is. It is the postseason. They give the stats as postseason stats. Don't give me this crap about qualifying round. Now, from a Preds standpoint, I'm fired up, Mickey. I'm sorry. From a Preds standpoint, you have every opportunity here to right some wrongs that you had clearly identified and had time to identify and address. And you come out, you give up a fluky goal. They actually came out fast-paced and were putting pressure on Arizona. But when that goal happened, they didn't handle it well. I felt like I was watching nine-year-old baseball where things are going well until you have an error. And then what happens after that error? You have another error. And then what happens after that error? You have another error. Because they're nine. These are professional athletes. Deal with the situation and move on. They didn't. And they lost. And now they're down 1-0. And here's the danger of the situation. You lose game two. Best of five series in the NHL hasn't happened since Mickey identified before the show, since the 80s. They used to do playoff series and best of five. Hadn't happened since then. But there is a window, a statistical window, that will offer you a frightening look at what could happen if they lose game two. NHL teams that take a 2-0 series lead in a best of five series are 55-1. That is a 98.2% win percentage. 55-1. They have to win game two. And they got to do it by controlling what they can control, and that's effort level, and overcoming bad things that happen. Good Lord.
Well, obviously, you take umbrage to what happened to start the game, but do you take any solace in what happened to end the game and how they finished to see what they were capable of? Now, they took, 43 shots, I think, and three found the back of the net. But do you take any solace? Do you take any relief in thinking, okay, they started the game in that brief burst, the wheels completely came off, but they managed to get all the wheels put back on at the end? That wasn't enough, because you can't give up four goals and win. You certainly can't give up three in an 8-minute stretch at one point. But they finished strong. So do they leave the ice thinking, okay, we did everything in the world to hand them that game and still made it a nail biter at the end? Or do they not recover from that? You know, that's the true key. And like you said, on Tuesday, we're going to know everything we need to know. And they've got back-to-back games. So what does back-to-back games mean for the goalie situation? There's just never – this is just such an interesting thing. And it's best of five. And it's – they're isolated. And I'll say this for the NHL, just on a completely different note. I thought the product looked great. I thought they did a great job presenting crowdless hockey. I've seen others say the same, but I thought they did a fantastic job presenting the product. I thought it looked good. It sounded good. I just wish the Preds had played, to be grammatically incorrect, good.
Well, good. However you want to say it, they didn't do it. Arizona gets that freaky goal to go up 1-0, 8 minutes in, and the Preds fall apart. They've got to be mentally tougher than that, or maybe they don't. Maybe this will just be a quick series, and we'll move on. The NHL announced more COVID testing. We'll get to that. Virginia Tech had a player opt out, and the reasoning is interesting. Philly's had four consecutive days with no positive test. Looks like they may be ready to get back out there. We'll get all into this this Pred situation. Several Titans players met with the media today. We'll get into that. Speaking of baseball, just off the top of my head, St. Louis Cardinals situation, you mentioned before the show, can be tied to a possible trip to a casino.
Yeah. Jerry Hairston, former player, had just mentioned it offhand on his Twitter. He was basically the first person to say it out loud. Not John Heyman of the Major League Baseball Network is collaborating that report. There was already a report that some guys had gone to like a drive-in concert of some kind, but it is now being pushed more towards two guys actually went to a casino, is the way it's being reported by John Heyman of Major League Baseball Network. If so, hey man, that's a terrible, terrible look right now. I mean, you have jeopardized everything for everybody.
Everything for everybody, no doubt.
Because you wanted to, pull the slots or whatever you wanted to do.
It's important sometimes. 3 o'clock, we'll dive into the Preds big time. 2:15, that's coming up in just a few minutes. Buck Rising jumps in the mix, and we'll get into some of these player conversations on Zoom today. Taylor Lewan, Harold Landry, Jonnu Smith all met with the media today. via Zoom. Mickey was in on that deal. So was Buck. At Buck Rising on Twitter, in advance of his visit at A to Z Sports. If we're both pissed off today, I don't know what we're going to do, but usually Buck is bubbly Buck on Monday, so we'll see. That's coming up next. Stay tuned. 3HL, 104.5 The Zone.
The number one reason why the Midday 180 works so well together.
Chad, I love you. Hutton, first off, I'm I'm excited that you finally said that, and I would like to return the favor and say I love you too.
The Midday 180, tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on 104.5 The Zone.
Man, I loved it.
Great job, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Brent Doherty, Mickey Ryan with you until 6 o'clock. Buck, I'm pissed off today, man. Buck Rising from A to Z Sports with us. But before we get into that, I just heard some news that you left us on Friday by saying that you were going to get COVID tested this weekend.
Yep.
And apparently it was all over social media. I really wasn't on social media this weekend. We were dealing with the 9U baseball tournament. So that was taking up a lot of my time. But you tested positive?
Oh, yeah. I have COVID-19, according to the fine folks at the East Nashville Urgent Care who tested me. So I own a home. I rent my second bedroom to a buddy of mine. He tested positive on Thursday. I got tested before I spoke with, no, I'm sorry. I got tested after I talked to you guys on Friday, and yesterday I received my positive test results. So I am officially, I have officially contracted the coronavirus. And I believe I am the first one of our Nashville media cohorts to do it. And I didn't even get to go to the fashion house party over the weekend. So it's all for naught. I got it at home.
Wow. I would have an ex-roommate if I were you, and an ex-buddy.
Yeah, well, you know, we're still contemplating repercussions as to what that will look like. But I'm mostly upset, and I don't know what you're pissed about today, Brett. Perhaps we can have a venting session. Mickey's fairly rarely pissed at anything. But Mick, if you have any frustrations you would like to air, the airing of grievances, I believe it's called. Festivus, come early.
Let it commence.
Yeah, let it commence. So I'm pissed off because of that. Brent, you sounded like you sounded personally attacked in the first segment. I happen to have it on. So hopefully my outrage does not trump yours, but I'm feeling okay, and we'll keep track of it. And honestly, I'm kind of assuming that everything doesn't go to hell. I'm kind of happy that I have it, and I'm working from home, and I'm going to be able to document it for people who watch primetime every night over the course of while I'm quarantined. Cause that way, you know, if I gotta be the lab rat for people to kind of observe in a way that you really haven't been able to do, well then I'm kind of cool with it. And if I happen to miss work because something happens with COVID, then hopefully people take that as a serious sign and we go from there.
Well, for those listening, we are on a Zoom call, and I will say this, and I feel good about saying this. Buck, you look great, man. You look great.
You know, COVID looks good on me, right? It's a particular shade of,
you're wearing a Bengal shirt, so it kind of falls in line.
I'm not wearing a Bengal shirt. It's a Cincinnati. I think it's a red shirt, to be completely honest. But it is Bengal orange. You are correct. Nobody will miss me. This is a part of my Rona precautions. If you see the orange shirt, stay 6 to 10 feet away until at least August the 9th.
This will change the name of your parody account, Buck Has Low T, to Buck Has Something Else, will it? Do you think?
You know what? I have not been in contact with Buck Has Low T, of course, social distancing protocols in place, but I'm certain.
Hasn't there been a rapper that's been in contact with Low T Buck?
Yes. Lil Jon is friends with Low T Buck Buck Has Low T on social media. Now, Rona Buck, whatever we're going to call this thing, if it indeed morphs itself into its own parody account, or whether the name of Buck Has Low T simply changes to reflect my current personal medical condition. We will just have to see how it goes. But outside of tension headaches, I've been a little tired the past week. I probably had it, probably contracted at some point over the course of last week. And so I will be able to update you guys and update your audience and update my own audience with how exactly the Rona is affecting my day to day.
So are you achy? Like what are the symptoms?
I mean, I have what's called tension headaches.
Different for everybody, right?
Right. And yeah. For people who are just now tuning in, like I'm 27, I'm in the age demographic that is seems to be the most unaffected by COVID-19. And I'm somebody who gets tension headaches anyway, just based on the amount of time I spend in front of screens. Like I'm sitting here in my office, I've got four screens, one of which you guys are on, and two set lights that, you know, I spend enough time in front of them, it's gonna bother me. But no aches, no night sweats to this point. No, I've never had the flu, so I'm really not sure what it's supposed to feel like. But as we sit here, I'm just a little tired, and that is something that people pointed out on our Titans media Zoom today, which I was not expecting. And so now I'm in my own head and I'm like, do I, it's like the thing that we're all doing right now. Oh my God, do I have COVID? Yeah. Turns out, yes, I do. But I don't know whether my lethargy with the Titans players whom we spoke to today is because I am a part of the global pandemic, or because it's a Monday afternoon at 1:30 and I'm dragging.
V Love on Twitter: if Buck Rising starts showing symptoms, low T will come with it. I know from experience.
Ah, okay. V Love has been through this process.
Yes, I believe that to be true.
I am taking my cues from V Love, who documented his quarantine, his 14-day quarantine. So perhaps I will steal content from V Love, and I will become 3HL's COVID correspondent. How about that, boys?
Sure.
There you go. Hey, in all seriousness, prayers up, and you'll get through this. And,
much appreciated.
And we will talk with you again Friday to document, as you said. Today, you mentioned Titans players with a Zoom call. Let's start with Taylor Lewan. He said he slowed down his beer chugging as the season approaches, said he will not be chugging beers through a catfish during the Preds playoff games. And the good thing for him about that is there may not be very many Preds playoff
Woo!
Games.
Tough one yesterday. It started with the Preds going down 3-0 in the first period. I think I got my test results somewhere in the second, and by that point, I'd just given up on the day. Like, the hell with it all. No, I mean, he is Lewan is there to make jokes, and Lewan, there's just so much that they don't know at this point based on what their day-to-day existence is going to be like. Their meetings are being held in the bubble right now at St. Thomas Sports Park. They have been taken out of the facility. They've been spread across the four corners, or I guess, I don't know if a bubble actually has corners, but they have been spread out across the bubble. And Lewan has told us that Dennis Kelly would make a wonderful dictator, because Dennis Kelly is the Titans player union rep in place of Logan Ryan, whose responsibility that used to be. And so Dennis is now the mask Nazi, and apparently he's doing an incredibly good job with it. So we hear all of those things. I'm honestly curious to see what kind of interactions, because for Lewan, and I'm sure we'll talk about the other three whom we spoke to, Harold Landry, one we haven't talked to in quite some time, Jonnu Smith and Kevin Byard, over the course of today's Zoom calls with Lewan, their whole approach with this is we're all speaking the same language at this point. If you put up an offensive line protection or a play call, each of these guys who's been around for the last season, they carry over from the season prior, because Arthur Smith's fingerprints were on that offense, that scheme before. And so they all understand that they are in a good spot given everybody else's position around the league, because they have that continuity that everybody's looking for. They can communicate fluidly. They were starting to find that comfort level with themselves across that unit, and you saw how what dividends it paid for them in the playoffs. I'm curious to see how everybody, and this is not a shot at Lewan. This is just because Lawan is the first player that we mentioned. I'm curious to see how everybody manages this within their own space, within their own meetings, because you can spread them out as much as you want. They're all still going to come into contact with each other in some form or fashion. And how can this be prevented from taking hold in a locker room? Hopefully to this point, we still don't know where Vic Beasley is. He's not at the Titans facility. We know that much. To this point, they are in the clear, with the exception of Isaiah Wilson, and he's going to matter very much. How do you acclimate that guy? We still don't have the answer to that question yet.
Buck Rising, our guest from A to Z Sports. You mentioned Vic Beasley. I had referred somebody to the article, Buck, you wrote about what are the financial implications for him not showing up so far. And you wrote about this, and like the Over the Cap guy wrote about it too. 6 days in, the Titans do have the ability to start trying to recoup some money. And if the report day was Tuesday, we're 6 days in at this point. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's 6 days. Today's actually the seventh day.
Yeah. So John Robinson's put out the statement last week, said he talked to him, said that both sides understand that the absences are unexcused and they can not only begin to recoup that money starting today, if they so choose, and Vic Beasley decides to opt out of the season, whether he just doesn't want to play for the Tennessee Titans for whatever twist and turn that road may take us down. They can begin the process of arbitrating that signing bonus that they doled out. That's money already spent for the Tennessee Titans. He could jack their 2020 salary cap up in a way that is inexcusable. That was Brent coughing, not me, for the record. I think that needs to be known. Since I'm the one with the positive Rona test.
Can I catch it through Zoom?
I don't know. That's the first thing I said. I said, you can't. I called my mom. I called my bosses. And I called Titans PR. And I said, listen, this is the case. You can't catch it digitally. And if that happens, then God help us all. But for now, I'm stuck at home and calling my mother on a regular basis. But
Rona was the case that they gave me. You don't know that one either. That needs to be on the Buck Rising call list at 4 a.m. when you post whatever song it is you're listening to.
Yeah, you know, the Daily Shuffle. I wake up, I tweet what I'm listening to.
Murder was the case, and we can change it to Rona was the case.
Turns out what one has happened to me, the other may happen soon based on the, what do you want to call it, the transmission tracking, because I know where this came from and I know where he sleeps. Anyway, with Vic Beasley, yes, they are out that money likely for the 2020 cap. Yeah. They are out that signing bonus money, the $6 million already paid. The roster bonus of $1.5 million has already been transitioned into guaranteed salary. So in theory, if Vic Beasley does not show up, they can get that money back, but probably it's not going to count against their 2020 cap. It'll be recouped for 2021. So it doesn't help you this year. Yeah. This guy could just completely sandbag you by deciding to not show up for work.
Buck Rising, our guest. All right, a myriad of Titans spoke. You talked a little bit about Taylor Lewan. Let's go back to the guy that we started with. Kevin Byard was interesting to hear with him, especially a guy with a very young family, Buck. And he was asked early on, did you think about opting out? And he kind of went through that process and, you know, his young child, I guess another on the way. And he said that he wanted to play football, that he wanted to be coached, that he wanted to be a part of this. I mean, he sounded cautiously optimistic, but he really sounded excited just to be back with his teammates too and having the opportunity to play.
Sure. And they all are, right? Like, this is all that they've known for certainly their entire adult lives at this point. They know the community experience. They know the family experience that you get from being on a football team. These guys are your friends. They're your brothers. They're your surrogate dads, if you want to look at coaching staffs like that, because these are people who are put in place to impart wisdom and life advice to you while also helping to bring out the best version of you. There are some serious family dynamics that, of course, these guys are excited about. And I don't blame anybody for opting into the season. Also, there's a ton of money to be made. Let's not make this mistake Kevin Byard has already been paid. Jonnu Smith's in a contract year, so I don't, you know, you can factor however much of that into Jonnu Smith's case for opting in as you want. But I talked to guys, I talked to players about this right when the opt-out procedure was decided upon between the NFL and the NFLPA. And the resounding message that I got from the Titans players that I spoke to was, you want to play, come play. If you don't, stay home. That's just the way that we're going to handle this. And we are going to, it's about as cliche as you can get in the football world, but in this case, it's particularly apt. You want to show up and play football, we're going to show up and play football, and we'll worry about the guys who are there. Right now, that includes the vast majority of them outside of Isaiah Wilson, who's on the COVID-19 list, and Vic Beasley, who I believe is somewhere with Cespedes, who did not show up to the Mets game yesterday. Although I believe at this point, Cespedes has opted out.
Yes, he has. He did hit a homer earlier, at least one I saw. I want to go back to Taylor Lewan. He said he wants to do a better job of helping to bring along young players. He said he's talked consistently with Isaiah Wilson since he was drafted. That would be huge from a leadership standpoint with Taylor. And Taylor's an interesting figure in that we've all kind of watched him grow up. You know, and he is very publicly he talks about his growth process a lot publicly. Like, he doesn't hide anything, and he's, to me, he's a fascinating figure, and certainly he could be a help to younger players. There's no doubt.
Sure. And Lewan said that today, and really throughout the course of this iteration of training camp, they're focused on the mental aspect of it, because obviously you can't do contact, and they're focused on the technique, which Taylor Lewan helped Harold Landry when he was a rookie in helping to develop pass rush techniques. Lewan showed Harold how to combat things like how he as a left tackle, as a Pro Bowl left tackle, would combat the moves that Harold was coming to him with through their work together. That was hugely beneficial to Harold Landry's development. Taylor's done stuff like this. Like, this isn't a new thing for him. I think he gets a hard time because he's an easy target and he's a left tackle that talks a lot. He talks probably more than anybody on that offense. Mm-hmm. He shows up today on the Zoom call and he's giving Jared Puffer, our friend in Titans PR, a hard time. And he's bogging down the Zoom proceedings, and it's because he can't see himself on camera. And by his own admission, he does better when he can see himself. And so this is the kind of guy that Taylor Lewan is. So people, you know, that's not your typical left tackle. But at his core, like, I don't think anybody cares more about the success of the Tennessee Titans and his teammates than Taylor Lewan. Like, I have seen nothing to the contrary of that. Just because you happen to enjoy the position that you're put in as somebody who's a high round draft pick, who's been a face of this franchise for a very long time at this point, who's been outwardly representative of the Tennessee Titans on many platforms before Derrick Henry started to find his place. And now you have AJ Brown and guys that are marketable. Kevin Byard still can't get top 100 player recognition, and he's one of the best safeties, if not the best safety in professional football right now. So, Lewan,
number two against the run, according to Pro Football Focus, for what that's worth.
He's a great player. Lewan has done this before, that he feels that he needs to outwardly express the fact that he is going to take on a leadership role is indicative of, I think, the heat he gets from when they release Bussin' with the Boys podcasts throughout the season. They're pre-taped and people are hitting him over the head with, you know, what are you doing podcasting during the season? They lack that context. By the way, having teammates on that podcast, having coaches on that podcast, Isaiah Wilson is tonight's guest on Bussin' with the Boys. I saw him tweet that out earlier. And this is obviously pre-COVID. So, or pre-him, we don't know whether Isaiah has tested positive or whether he's just come into contact with somebody by the nature of the league's rules. Right. But to have Mike Vrabel, Arthur Smith, Isaiah Wilson, they've had Derrick Henry, AJ Brown. Like, this creates an opportunity for them to discuss on Lewan's platform things that are going on in their lives in a way that you can't under normal circumstances. And I think that inclusiveness, obviously you can't get through a full 90-man roster, but I think that inclusiveness helps to extend the olive branch to the new rookie right tackle, who's trying to transition into life in Nashville in a different city, playing professional football in a time during a global pandemic. I think that kind of stuff really does help. And I think that Taylor, you know, Taylor gets a lot of heat, but Taylor probably doesn't get as much credit as he deserves behind the scenes.
Hit us on Twitter at 3HL1045. Bizarro PK writes, by the time the NFL kicks off, CoronaBuck, hashtag CoronaBuck, is going to be the only national media member with the COVID antibodies and would have exclusive access to the Titans. Look at you nodding your head halfway through that tweet.
Yeah, that's right. I had a very serious conversation about this with my A to Z cohorts, Austin Stanley and Zach Bingham, about whether they purposefully, like the SEC is being accused of, purposefully infected me with COVID so that I could develop some kind of immunity and antibodies ahead of time and then send me into the locker room as the first one because of my public admission of the disease that is now sticking with me at this point. But
it's a brilliant plan, Buck. Well thought out.
You know, I don't think herd immunity is a real thing. And I think the science is proving that herd immunity isn't a real thing. But if it helps me to get it early, I'd rather have it early and just kind of see how it goes.
Well, the NFL informed clubs this weekend, anyone with a prior documented positive test for COVID-19 since April 1st will be allowed into team facilities even without consecutive negative tests to start camp.
That's your boy. Let's go.
Misty on Twitter, curious to know what blood type Buck is. I don't know why that question, but that question exists.
Well, I am the universal donor. I am O negative. So I can, the Red Cross has been hunting me for years in terms of that. And obviously that is a very good service that is provided. But what I will say is I do fully plan to donate my plasma after it's safe for me to be out in places, so that can be used to study COVID antibodies and hopefully help with the process and the science, to keep up with the virus.
I mean, I knew guys in college that donated plasma to go get beer money. I mean,
I have absolutely done that in high school to pay for my spring break in Panama City. So it would be my first time.
Club Lavila, baby.
Oh, my God. I was outside when Dak Prescott got his ass kicked of Club Lavila. I was outside during that spring break. I was there. I witnessed that fight in the parking lot. Big time.
First Luke NFL Ryan report.
Before. Yeah, it's true. I think I even documented it on social media, but that was under a different Twitter account that has long since been deleted.
All right, more with Corona Buck when we come back. At Buck Rising on Twitter, at A to Z Sports, A to Z Sports Nashville.com is the website. We'll get into something that Jonnu Smith said about his offense coordinator today that was interesting. And more, 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery, 104.5 The Zone.
Let's go. The NHL is back, and the Predators have returned to the ice in a best-of-five Stanley Cup qualifier series against the Arizona Coyotes. Get instant Preds playoff reaction, not to mention that you'll get to react to it here before anywhere else. On your home for the best Predators coverage, 104.5 The Zone.
HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery at 104.5 The Zone. Buck Rising with us every Monday and Friday. Thanks to our friends at Buddy Allen Carpet One. They are your flooring needs experts. BuddyAllenCarpet1.com is the website. Check out Zach and the crew there. This just came down, guys. Matt LaFleur commenting on Aaron Rodgers' future. This is what he said.
Yeah. Quote,
right now, most importantly, Aaron's our quarterback, and I see him here for a really long time. And however long that is, I don't think anybody knows. Nothing's guaranteed in this league, but I feel lucky to be able to work with him on a daily basis, and I don't see that changing for a really long time, except for the fact that nothing is guaranteed like Aaron Rodgers' contract this year. So if he were to opt out, he doesn't get his money. Meanwhile, Jordan Love, the only skill position player they've ever drafted in the first round since Aaron Rodgers has been quarterback, the backup quarterback, his contract this year is guaranteed. So there is that. But what a weird situation in Green Bay, man.
Titans, former Titans OC, Matt LaFleur. Right. I see, it's interesting because the players really liked Matt when he was here.
Yep.
And I thought Matt LaFleur, when things seemed to be precipitating rapidly for that offense and what it ended up looking like. And I think he got a bit of a raw deal because we now know the limitations, and they were dealing with, we knew that they were dealing with a limited Marcus Mariota at that time anyway, but I don't think we really understood how limited. Based on the players' interactions with him, they say that he's one of the most intelligent minds offensively that a lot of those dudes have ever been around. And there've been a fair amount of offensive coach turnover at that place here in recent memory. His diplomacy, though, seems to be lacking with the most important player that he's ever coached.
Yeah.
My understanding is Aaron Rodgers. Like, I think Aaron Rodgers has been pretty diplomatic about it himself. I think Aaron Rodgers has a history of lacking diplomacy, especially when it comes to his own family members. And I think that if you're going to deal with this person, you were hired to be a collaborator, not as a superior. If you're Matt LaFleur, I think you're playing a very, very dangerous game, and maybe you have the keys to the kingdom in a way that the rest of us on the outside don't think that you do. But I think that his job is very much tied to the success or failure of Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. You know, I just don't understand the thinking behind it.
I mean, it's always easy to say he's one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. We're fortunate to have him on our team.
Easy to say that.
You could just say anything. I mean, this guy's a Green Bay legend, and I get to coach and work with him every day. What a thrill. What's the next question?
Until I don't.
But when until you drafted Jordan Love, that answered every one of these questions. I mean, we can ask those type of questions, as you referred to it, Buck, as gasbaggery. But everyone knew. I mean, that clock started to tick really loudly as soon as they took another quarterback that high in the draft. So, I mean, he's had plenty of time to think about how should I answer this when people start asking. And then that's what he uncorks today when he gets the chance. And they're the same age, basically, which is fantastic.
Which, by the way, I appreciate the transparency. Like, as somebody who does this for a living, I love that honesty. Thank you for that honesty. That doesn't mean I'm not gonna criticize you for your honesty, but thank you. So what we're begging every time I get on one of these godforsaken Zoom calls or go to a press conference under normal circumstances, which we will not be able to do for quite some time, I just want them to be honest. In some form or fashion. Now, Mike Vrabel, I think, is pretty good at it and doing. You can, if you read through Vrabel's transcripts, I think Mike is willing to give you a lot more than he seems in person to initially want to give you. Like, he'll kind of mess with you on the front end and you know, go back and forth with you a little bit, and then really give you a thorough response. And he's, you know, everybody does the coaching cliches, and everybody is focused on the thing that's in front of them and everything that these NFL coaches say to you. But Matt LaFleur is handling this in a way that would not seem to engender goodwill with his star quarterback, who, by the way, and I'm not afraid that I don't think there's any shame in saying this, and I think Matt LaFleur is echoing a lot of what we're seeing. Aaron Rodgers is not the same player as he used to be. Aaron Rodgers has been able to rely on physical gifts and arguably the most talented, naturally talented quarterback that any of us have seen up to the point of Pat Mahomes. His mechanics, though, are not sound. And as his body starts to fail him a little bit, I think that lack of mechanics has started to show up in the way that Aaron Rodgers plays football. I don't think that's an unfair criticism by any stretch of the imagination.
Buck Rising, Corona Buck, with us on 3HL, joining Hello. Us for another segment, which I just totally whiffed on even asking you if you could do another segment. I just was thinking about that now, but thank you.
Hey, guess what, buddy? I got nowhere to go for the next 14 days. Anytime you want me to pop in, I'm sitting literally right here. Until I come up Rona free, I am sitting right here in this very office. So yes, Brent, retroactively, I have an extra segment for you.
Jonnu Smith on the conference call today, talking about offensive coordinator Arthur Smith, said he's one of the smartest people I've ever been around. What an interesting dude, right? His dad's Fred Smith. I mean, he could have just freaking waffed through life, and he didn't. He's blazing his own path, the next stop is head coach in the NFL, and I believe that will happen at some point, but what an interesting figure. And again, I don't think it can be said enough how important it is for the quarterback and the OC to both be back for year two.
It's massive, especially when year two involves COVID. And it's really year three for this particular offense. And the way that, because LaJuan talked about it within a three-year cycle. Like, this is still conceptually the same offense that when Mike Vrabel hired Matt LaFleur to coordinate, these are the same concepts, the same language for the most part that these guys are running. And so that really, really helps. Arthur has been through every rank, every ranking in that organization. He is one of the longest tenured, if not the longest tenured coach on that staff. It's very rare that guys survive, especially quality control dudes at that low of a level, at, as Arthur was when he started with the Tennessee Titans. He has been through three regimes at this point, through Wisenhunt, which I wasn't here to cover, but sounds like it was a different environment entirely.
You and him?
would we have not gotten along?
It would have been like a flame in a nitroglycerin plant.
Well, you would have been the Fleur to his Aaron Rodgers.
So. Good. Things are it's starting to get a little dull. I need to spice things up in my life. Maybe I take a shot at Vrabel, since I know I don't have to be around him for any time soon and he can't physically inflict pain upon me. No, Arthur Smith has survived through now three NFL coaching tenures and risen to the call. He, as you mentioned, he could take any other option in life that he wanted to, because not only is Fred Smith famous for his appearance in Castaway, he is also more notably the president of FedEx and part owner at this point in the Washington football team. So Arthur Smith's not lacking for money, not lacking for resources at his disposal, and yet still chose one of the most unglamorous or lacking glamorous positions with the Tennessee Titans at a time when they sucked to be a quality control assistant and ultimately rise. He's getting noticed by people in the NFL, and really should have been noticed last year for what he did with the Titans. Really should have received more notoriety. I think it's just a product of not as many people watching the Titans as they do the Giants or the Jets or whomever else playing in a bigger market and coaching in a bigger market. But this dude presided over the third most efficient offense in football and is running back the same cast of characters in what is considered for them year three. I think that I think that your biggest concern about Arthur Smith at this point, if you're a Titans fan, is losing the guy next year.
Buck Rising, at Buck Rising on Twitter, at A to Z Sports. Jake on Twitter, I don't know if it's Jake from State Farm, but Jake says he's wishing you a smooth and speedy recovery. Stay safe over there, Buck.
Does he also want to know what I'm wearing, such as Jake from State Farm? Because I would be happy to tell you. I can tell you my blood type. I can't give you my Social Security number. But everything else, Rona Buck, it's on the table.
What a year it's been over there, man.
Just put me down now, honestly.
You're going to have to get all that Buddy Allen carpet disinfected after this. I mean, it's fine carpet. I don't know if it's Rona-proof, but you have to make sure it's cleaned up.
No free ads, but the cleaning company has already been scheduled to come in here and give me a bleach bath. So me and everybody else.
What happens when that happens? I mean, you just get naked and stand there? Is that what you do?
I mean, at this point, this is the only time that I'm putting on clothes for the next 14 days, because this is the only screen outside of the primetime show. I can do that without pants. For all you know, I'm doing this without pants. The rest of the time, it's just going to be completely in the nude.
All right.
Heaven help us.
Yep, Puck Rising will join us Friday. Big clothes apparently are optional. Check him out on A to Z Sports Nashville.com, and he's got all kinds of things going. Thanks, Buck. Appreciate it, man.
Get well soon, Buck.
Hey, get well soon, yes.
Always a pleasure, boys. Enjoy your week, and I hope your audience does as well. I'll see you Friday.
All right, there he is, Buck Rising, every Monday and Friday. The NCAA deadline to withdraw from the NBA draft is today. We've got news on some players. What about Eves Pons with Tennessee? We had some news, and then we've got deleted news. This is really interesting. That's coming up next. Stay tuned.